Molly Knight joins us on Sports Byline. Of course, in this TMZ world where we're talking about money, conflicts, and egos as well, I can't think of a better book to read, especially if you're into sports, than the book that Molly has written. It's called The Best Team Money Can Buy, The Los Angeles Dodgers' Wild Struggle to Build a Baseball Powerhouse. You know, when authors decide to write a book, I wonder what thought process they go through in thinking about whether they want to do this subject or that subject. Tell me a little bit about how you decided to do this, Molly.
Well, I worked for ESPN for a long time, and back when the Dodgers were owned by the McCourt family and everything went to hell when they had the divorce and the bankruptcy and all that, ESPN sent me out to LA to cover it. And throughout all of that, it was sort of like, I kind of liken it to being like, you basically survive like a natural disaster with a group of people, and you're really close because of it. I mean, like, the players are asking me, do you know if our checks are going to bounce? Like, that kind of thing. And so I sort of formed different bonds with players and coaches and staff members during that time period. And then as they got bought by this group out of Chicago for the most money ever for a sports franchise, and then as they got all these superstars, a couple of them who had been there for a while said, you should write a book about us. We're going to go from bankruptcy to world championship in like a year. So you should do this. And the characters are interesting. And I was kind of like, like at first I was like, whatever. I had never written anything longer than like really a couple, maybe five pages before. And I thought, right. I'm not going to do that. And then as the time went on, I kind of thought, man, this is really interesting. This is a really interesting story because the characters were so rich. And I people ask me, are you going to write another baseball book? And like, I don't know what else I could say, but B, it was like, God, it was really just a book about people, about fascinating characters more than it was about baseball. So I don't ever think I'll be in the same room with the same access to guys like a Clayton Kershaw, Zach Greinke, Don Mattingly, like Magic Johnson, Yasiel Puig. I mean, it's crazy.
You know, you talk in this book about the ownership, and of course it went from being deep into the valley to on its way to the top. Money was not the issue here, but let's talk just briefly. Tell me a little bit so people will understand about the ownership struggle and the selling of the team.
So this man came in from Boston, and he had no money, no liquid money. He had a parking lot that he owned there. And Fox, the Rupert Murdoch's group, they owned the Dodgers, and the only reason they bought the Dodgers was because they wanted to continue showing with their games on their television network, Fox Sports West. That was the only reason they bought the Dodgers. They had no interest in running a team. And they realized, like, we don't need to run this team. We'll just pay somebody else for the rights to show the game. So they went to sell the team, but there were no buyers. This was like 2003. Before everything on Wall Street took off, people had a lot of money. And so they were pretty desperate to sell. And this guy, Frank McCourty, tried to buy the Red Sox. And he was laughed out of town because he had no money, but his plan was to tear down Fenway and build a new ballpark for the Red Sox on his parking lot. And then tried to buy the Angels, and he lost out on that too. And so then he comes out to L.A. to try to buy the Dodgers, and Fox at this point is just desperate to get rid of the team. And he wound up putting down no money of his own, like not $1 of his own money. He got loans from like Bank of America, and he actually got loans from Fox. He said, I'm going to sell this parking lot and give you the money. And if I don't, you guys can just repossess the parking lot in like 3 years or whatever it was. And he didn't. And they ended up just repossessing the parking lot. So in effect, he traded a parking lot in Boston for a baseball team. So he had no money. He wanted to live this lavish lifestyle. Dodgers are raking in the cash from leading the league in attendance. And they started basically using the team as their own personal ATM, building themselves multi-million-dollar mansions all over the country, he and his wife. And it got to the point where they basically bled the team dry. There was no money left to make player salary. And that's when MLB stepped in and said, no, this is not going to work anymore. And then they forced the McCourts to sell the team.
Tell me a little bit about the ownership group that prevailed and ended up paying over $200 million for this team. And how did that price come up? Because, I mean, that was far and beyond anything we'd ever seen in baseball.
Yeah, so they did. The winning bid was $2.15 billion. And the way that – I mean, that the previous record for an American sports franchise was $1 billion, but spent by the guy who bought the Miami Dolphins 3 years earlier. So, I mean, it's pretty crazy to more than double, just shatter the economics of it. And the reason that happened is because the Dodgers were in a really unique position there. They're the second biggest media market in the country. The team is really a global brand, and their television deal was up in 18 months. And what that means is whoever bought the team, they had the right to go out and sell the rights to broadcast the Dodger games to the highest bidder. The reason why baseball is such a more lucrative buy than the football team, for instance, let's say the Dallas Cowboys. Well, Forbes said the Dallas Cowboys were worth way more than the Dodgers, but they were wrong because the Cowboys can't sell the rights to their own games. The NFL makes a deal with NBC, Fox, ABC, ESPN, the television deals, and the teams split that revenue equally. I think the Green Bay Packers last week released financials from last year because they're like a publicly owned, they're owned by the city or the shareholders. And they said that they made like $180 million in television revenue. So that's what each NFL team made last year. The Dodgers made $330 million in television revenue last year.
Let me just correct something that I said. I said $200 million. I meant over $2 billion is what they paid for it. When you take a look at this new group, what was their philosophy on rebuilding the Dodgers?
You know, I think we've seen, it's interesting, we've seen this post-Moneyball struggle between new thinking and old school ways of thinking. And we've seen teams like the Mets, the Cubs, and the Astros go through this complete overhaul of the organization. If they had people running the team who just really weren't that progressive on the analytics front. And the owner said, you know, this is the wave of the future. We're going to bring in some geeks. We're going to bring in the geek squad and turn everything around. But what each of those teams did was they went into rebuilding mode. They said, you know what, we're just going to start over. We're going to basically trade everything that's not nailed down to the floor. We're going to try to restock our farm system. So if there were any players of value at the major league level, they were basically trading them all away. For the Dodgers, for this ownership group, when they came in, they're coming in on the heels of this Frank McCourt bankrupting the team and turning off the city and just fans who were just so alienated. And they knew, A, that they could not afford to go into a rebuilding mode because fans were already so disenfranchised by McCourt. They didn't want to lose them forever. And also, B, they wanted to win. L.A. is a championship city. Fans have been so spoiled with the Lakers, and the Lakers are on a bit of a downswing right now. And they thought we have a real opportunity to come in here and really capture this market right now. Laker fans want something to do because the team's terrible. So rather than just go into rebuilding mode, they did both. They started to rebuild, but then they went out and they overpaid for superstars on the decline from other teams, or they traded for them, like teams that were like malcontent superstars who maybe needed to get out of where they were. And so what happened was they got all these guys thrown into a room together that didn't know each other, that hadn't come up together, that, oh, by the way, have reputations for being difficult, and maybe their egos are outsized. And so they're all now in a fishbowl together trying to win immediately.
We have about 90 seconds before we have to break, Molly, but this covers a couple of seasons with the Dodgers, the 2013-2014 season. Right. Where does Magic Johnson play into this?
You know, it's interesting. He's got a lot of his own money into the Dodgers. He put in $50 million of his own money, and that's he owns a way bigger stake in the Dodgers than, say, what Jay-Z owns in the Nets. But also Magic Johnson knows that there's a lot he doesn't know, and that's probably why he's such a successful businessman. He's happy to go around and work the crowd and work with the corporate sponsors and be supportive to players and fans. But he's also not meddling in player acquisition. He doesn't pretend to know all about analytics of baseball. That's a really great quality in a leader. So he's there, but he's not like weighing in on who to sign and who to trade.
Who's the final decision maker?
Well, right now it's Andrew Friedman. They brought him in from the Rays. He's brilliant. The last couple of years it was Stan Kasten. The former president of the Braves and the architect of those teams in the 90s that were just a dynasty. But right now it's Andrew Friedman, the brilliant former Rays general manager, who I believe is going to build a championship team, if not this year, then next year. I really do.
In about 30 seconds, is money the thing that they don't need to have to build that championship team? Are they making right personnel decisions?
Yeah, you know what I think? It's funny. I think more teams should spend the money on the front office. I think that spending getting a GM for $5 million a year is the best GM in the game is money better spent than a middling reliever or at this point or a fifth starter. I think the team should really start doing that.
This is a fascinating book. It's written by Molly Knight. It's called The Best Team That Money Can Buy, The Los Angeles Dodgers' Wild Struggle to Build a Baseball Powerhouse. And when we come back, and this book is loaded with great, insightful stories and some very funny stories as well. So when we come back on the other side, we'll talk to Molly about some of the interesting moments in rebuilding the Los Angeles Dodgers as we continue on Sports Byline.